Good evening. Thanks everyone for joining. No longer mitzvah of the week. This week we'll be talking about Inyanei Deyoma. Shir is sponsored by Gloria Rappaport in memory of Lezecher Nishmas, Alice Bas Lawrence Rappaport. Yahrzeit is tonight, tomorrow, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Okay, so thank you for sponsoring. So, as a general principle, we have this idea that time flies when we're having fun, that when we're doing things that we're a joy, so we can stand to do things longer up to a point. There's nothing that we can really, really do forever and ever. Kind of need some change, some novelty. We get a little bit bored, but if we think about some activities that we like, socializing, vacation, sleeping, things like that. So those are things that, well, you know, each one's different. And everybody relates to all those differently. But some of those ideas tend to excite us a little bit, and we would be interested in adding on to them. And then we have things that are less fun, things that we want to get out of as soon as possible. So I'm finishing up a book on education right now. I think it's called The Big Picture. I'm actually blinking. I think it's called The Big Picture by Dennis Lickey. So he talks about he has this whole revolutionary concept of school that it's not really regular classes, but it's entirely project-based learning combined with internships. And he talks about how he has kids staying up till 2 a.m. Doing a project or doing work that they're working on, right? Contrast that with regular homework, which I think most of us in school try to do it as quickly as possible because, you know, unless it's something we're really engaged in, something we really like, we are less likely to want to spend time on it, right? So if we're at work, we have projects that we dread. We have projects that we dread versus projects that we're willing to work on. So in general, you know, the amount of time we're willing to spend something and the choice to go above and beyond depends on how much we enjoy the activity. And from that vein, it makes sense that there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos. The idea of adding on to Shabbos is something that makes sense. We're adding to the holy from the mundane. In many ways, it's really what it means to be a Jew, is to take the everyday activities and add holiness to them, or to do something that's maybe above the mundane. But when it comes to Shabbos, it's something we enjoy and we appreciate. Again, up to a point, it can be hard to sit through Shabbos entirely. But at least Shabbos is something that gives me more holiness. It's something that that we enjoy. There's oneg. So that's something I can appreciate. The concept of Tosefes truthfully comes from Yom Kippur, where the Pasuk says, V'initem nafshotechem, that we're supposed to afflict ourselves, V'tisha l'chodesh ba'erev, on the ninth day in the evening, V'erev ad erev tishpetu shabbatchem. So from one evening to the next evening is when we have this Shabbaton, this Shabbos. But with Yom Kippur, even then I can understand and appreciate the concept of Tosefes, of adding on to it, because even though it's a fast day, and maybe we don't enjoy fast days per se, but it is a day of holiness. It's a day that we're before God. And there's even elements of simcha to it. There are things that, you know, we're compared to angels. So there's certain aspects of Yom Kippur that we can look forward to, we relate to. So the idea of adding on to it makes sense. But then if I told you that when it comes to Tisha B'Av, that there's such a thing as Tosefes, that we would add on to it. So how many of you would ever want to add to Tisha B'Av? Anybody enjoy Tisha B'Av? Does anybody enjoy mourning on top of the fasting and the like? At least on Yom Kippur, you're allowed to greet people, we're allowed to sing and the like. Tisha B'Av is a difficult holiday. There are people who say that Tisha B'Av is their favorite holiday because of certain aspects of it that they find meaningful, but it's not something I would ever want to add on to. So that's what I want to talk tonight a little bit about, is this idea of adding on to Tisha B'Av, Tosefes Tisha B'Av, and to what extent is there such a thing, and what do we do with that? So one thing So there's a Gemara in Tainis that deals initially with regular fast. It says Tanu Rabbanan Amatai Ochel V'Shota. How on a regular minor fast days, let's say Shiva Sabri Tammuz that we had just over 2 weeks ago. So on the night of the 17th of Tammuz, when am I allowed to eat and drink until Achela Mudashachar Diva Rabbi? I have until dawn, according to Rabbi. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Shimon Omer Ad Kros HaGever, until the call of the rooster, which is slightly before dawn. So then Abaye says, Lo Shanu El Shalom Gemar Surato. That's only if you didn't finish eating at night. Well, Gemar Surato, if you finish eating that night, Eino Ochel, then you're not allowed to eat anymore. Right? Once I've finished, I'm allowed to eat dinner on the night of the 17th of Tammuz. Of course, again, it's pretty late at that point. So, you know, if you're even having dinner, but you're given one meal the night of the fast day, but then that's it. Once you've had the meal, that's it. So then Rava comes and contradicts him and says, "Gamar ve'amar harizah ochel." There's a brayta that says that if I finish eating and I get up, so I'm still allowed to finish eating. So maybe that's when I haven't cleared the table yet. Once I've cleared the table, I'm not allowed to eat anymore. But once I'm completely done, then I'm not allowed to eat anymore. Then there's a second explanation of Rava. Loshanu elak shelo yashan. Aval yashan eino ochel. So that's only if he didn't go to sleep. But once somebody went to sleep, so they're not allowed to eat anymore. So this raises the question of when does the fast actually start? Because conventional wisdom would be that the minor fast days start at dawn. But here we're saying that maybe that's not really the case, because let's say I wake up a little bit before dawn. Let's say I go to, you know, I eat a meal, I go to sleep, and then I wake up. So even if it's a little bit before dawn, maybe I'm still not allowed to eat. So it raises an interesting question of when does the fast actually start? Does it fundamentally start at night or in the morning? Now, truth was that if it starts at Alos HaShachar, at dawn, so maybe the idea of Tosefos makes sense. I could add on a little bit. If not, then it doesn't entirely make sense, because what are you going to be adding? You're still allowed to eat at night. So when it comes to regular fast days, maybe there's a distinction between the Yom Ta'anit, which really takes place the whole night. That's why, for example, even though the fast of Shiva Sabri Tammuz doesn't start until dawn, but the restrictions still apply at night, right? You wouldn't have a wedding the night of Shiva Sabri Tammuz, generally speaking. It's a question that's asked to Moshe Feinstein, but generally we would avoid that. We would start the restrictions of, let's say, not playing music. So there's Yom Ta'anit, which is really the whole entire day, including night. And then there's the Isur Achila, the prohibition to eat, which only kicks in the next morning. But that's just with regular fast days. But then when we get to when it comes to Tisha B'Av, so the Rif quotes this whole Gemara that we just saw, Rabbi Yitzchak Afasi, 11th century, North Africa. So he took the Gemara and he sort of broke it down to its most essential parts. He only really dealt with practical matters. So, for example, Kachim sacrifices is not, there's no riff on that. But then he adds things a little bit. So he quotes our Gemara, and then he brings up, but what about a fast day where you stop eating during the day? In other words, Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, I have to stop eating before sunset. So he says, Chazina Lagon de Kamar, So if one didn't accept the fast, then one can continue eating until sunset. That's what one particular Gaon says. But once somebody accepted the fast upon themselves, they're not allowed to eat or drink anymore, right? Even if it's still daylight, right? So let's say sunset this year, and Shabbos is a totally different story, but let's just pretend for a second that Tisha B'Av were to fall on a Thursday. So let's say Shkia is at 8:25. So if I accepted upon myself the fast at 7:30, so it doesn't matter that sunset's not for another hour, I'm not allowed to fast. I'm not allowed to pass that. And he brings an example that when it comes to, let's say if we were to propose making Kiddush on Yom Kippur. So that wouldn't really be possible because once he says Shehachianu, so then he's no longer, then such a person's not allowed to drink the wine. Right? That's why we don't make a, that's why we don't really make a Kiddush on Yom Kippur. When it comes to drinking water, so if I'm allowed to eat, I'm allowed to drink water. If I'm not allowed to drink, if I'm not allowed to eat, then I'm not allowed to drink water. But the major point that we're getting from here is that there's a concept of accepting upon the fast. Now, if somebody doesn't accept upon themselves a fast, so then they can eat right up until the moment of sunset. So the idea of Tosefet is not mandatory, right? When it comes to Shabbos and Yom Kippur, so we hold that it's mandatory to do it. Yom Kippur, it's conceivably D'oraisa that I'm supposed to add to it. With Shabbos, possibly so, but with Tisha B'Av, it seems like that if I choose to make a Tosefet, if I accept upon myself the fast, then I'm not allowed to eat. Then I've added on to Tisha B'Av. But if I don't do that, then I don't have to. Then there's the Baal HaMa'or, Mizrahi Halevi, the 12th century commentator in Provence, who his whole project of the Ma'or is to critique the Rif. So the Balmer says, "Lo nir lan dvar baza de leislan hachin ela inyan bracha shulte bracha kemotzi shim shemayim levatal." So, when it comes to accepting upon himself, so you have to say a bracha. You have to have verbalized something in the form of a bracha. I'm going to refer there to be tosefes. Well, Kabbalah chayes b'tanya shemafsig b'bibonon inland, but there's no such thing as accepting upon a fast without a bracha, which means that on Tisha B'Av we don't make a bracha to start Tisha B'Av. Not making Shechianu on Tisha B'Av, right? That's one thing. I mean, you know, we obviously want to live to the next ninth of Av, but not to mark Tisha B'Av. We want to live to the ninth of Av to maybe be in the Beis HaMikdash. So we don't make a Shechianu. So therefore, so you have to make sure you stop eating by Shkia, but otherwise you can eat the whole time. So Rav Elio Blumenzweig, Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva Hester of Yerucham. So in an article, he says that there's two possibilities in terms of what the Baal HaMa'or holds when it comes to Tosefet of adding on to Tisha B'Av. Either he believes that there's no such thing as Tosefet, or there is such a thing as Tosefet, but only if there's something like a Shechianu on Yom Kippur. So obviously for Yom Kippur, for Shabbos, there's such a thing as Tosefet, but for Tisha B'Av, be a little bit harder to have a concept of Tosefet because you can't accept some. There's no such thing as a Kabbalah. There's no accepting without having said Hashem's name in a bracha. So then we have the opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban defends the Rif in the Milchamos Hashem. So it's brought here in the Torah. So we're going to start actually with the second part of the tour, which says the Katava Ramban de lo shayach. Oh, I forgot another one of my recent tricks. Where's the annotate thing? One second. All right. So the Ramban writes Katava Ramban de lo shayach lemimar Kabbalah ela biyom kippurim shetzarich laosif ala bibal yom. So Ramban thinks that there's no such thing as Tosef except by Yom Kippur. But with other fast days, there's no such thing as Tosefet. So even though Tisha B'Av might be comparable to Yom Kippur in the fact that they both are 25-hour fast with certain restrictions, there's still no requirement of Tosefet unless it's Yom Kippur. So why would that be? So I think this is also explained by Rav Blumenzweig, and it makes sense. Yom Kippur has an aspect of Kedusha, like what we were saying before. That when it comes to something like Shabbos or Yom Kippur, where there's holiness, so adding on makes sense. But Tisha B'Av, there's no holiness associated with Tisha B'Av per se, So there's not necessarily going to be a Tosefes. Now the Torah comes and says the Torah is the code that sort of precedes the Shulchan Aruch, comes not so long in history after the Ramban and the like. So he says, V'ein yer l'chalek, v'vada kabbalah oser v'chol tani shetzarech l'afzik bo mibod yom. So the Torah says that there is such a thing as a Tosefes, and if I accept upon myself the fast, so I have to stop eating during the day. So, you know, the Torah might understand that that there might be a requirement for Tosefes by Yom Kippur, which is in some ways a chidush. The idea, there's something novel about the fact that there would be a requirement to have chidush. But if I choose to accept upon a day a little bit early, so that's not necessarily, that's not so crazy. It's impossible to accept it. Perhaps it counts as it's like a netter, that if I decide that I want to accept something early, so it counts in that other sense. But there's a little bit of a problem with the Ramban, because Ramban writes earlier. That if I start eating my Suda Sabavsekis once it's after Chatzot, so at that point I'm no longer allowed to bathe or to anoint myself like on Tisha B'Av itself. I've already accepted upon it. So it sounds like, you know, once I've started my Suda Masekid, in some ways I've accepted Tisha B'Av upon myself. Now that seems to be a little bit problematic, because at first glance it seems like it's saying that there is Tosefet for Tisha B'Av, which you were saying before. So obviously this isn't entirely Tosefet. We're not really actually adding on to Tisha B'Av, because he's saying that when you started eating your Sudah Masekit, which means that Tisha B'Av hasn't actually started. But it means that it means that there is an aspect of mourning that is applicable at this point, which makes sense. All right. Blumenzweig says that maybe there's an aspect of Aninut, right? Aninut is that first that period right before, right after Rachmanot Zlan, someone passes away, and the funeral, where there's certain practices that immediately become prohibited, right? So you're not in Shiva at that moment, but there is something else going on. So when you're sitting at the Sudas Mafsekis, it's like you have the Sudas Havra'a they have right after the funeral. So there is an aspect of mourning that's kicking in at the Sudas Mafsekis, but that's not actually on to Tisha B'Av. So now we get to the Rambam. Now we've basically been dealing really with everybody from the Rif and everybody who comments on the Rif. But we get to the Rambam, and the Rambam writes and is Pirush Mishnayos. V'din Tanis V'din Tanis Tzom Kippur. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, the fast is like that of Yom Kippur. Kol Marshu Aser Bechirtz of Sichah V'Tashmish Amita V'Nios Asanda. All the major five prohibitions apply. Mosivim Mechol Al Kodesh, and we add from the weekday to the holiness, meaning that there is, he says explicitly that there is some aspect of adding on to Tisha B'Av, that there is an aspect of Tosefes. And in the Mishnah Torah, so he talks about having a Sudas Masekis like we have with Yom Kippur. He says, "V'chol tani she'ochlin b'mivon yom imachal pasak v'gamar shalo lechol eno chozer ve'ochel afal pishiyesh shehus b'yom." So with every fast day, where it's, you know, where it kicks in at sunset, so if you ate beforehand and you stopped your meal and you seem to have made an intention not to continue eating, so then you can't go on to eat, even though there's more time in the day, right? If Shkia is at 8:25 and I stop eating at 8 o'clock, so I can't change my mind at 8:15 and be like, oh, just kidding, I wasn't actually done eating. So that I'm not allowed to do. So again, that would seem to only bolster the idea that there's such a thing as Tosefet for the Rambam, that the Rambam says that you can add on to it. That maybe if it's comparable to Yom Kippur, even there's an obligation, and even perhaps more strict than the Rif, it would seem like that you don't even need to have made a Kabbalah per se. You don't have to verbally said it. You just have to have in mind not to do it. But there is a little bit of an issue elsewhere in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says that only Bina Shmashot is forbidden like Yom Kippur. It's only after sunset that's forbidden to eat like Yom Kippur, not earlier. So Reuben's Zweig says maybe that with Tisha B'Av it's different because it's a morning fast as opposed to maybe other fast days, including all the other fast days, which are focused on tshuva. With Tisha B'Av, it's not really about tshuva, it's about morning. So for morning fasts, you want tosefet, you want to add on to show a spirit of penitence. But for Tisha B'Av, there's no idea of adding on to morning. Now, switching over to the Ashkenazi side of things for a second, because everything we saw so far was not Ashkenazi. So it seems like that, according to Tosfot, based on the Gemara, Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are really comparable with everything, with one particular exception. But Tosfot makes a point that it seems like that with Yom Kippur, so there's also a difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. There's another difference that with Yom Kippur, you're required to have a tosefet, you're required to have an addition. And for Tisha B'Av, you don't have to do a tosefet, that it's permitted to eat in the period right before the fast begins. So maybe when the Gemara says that there's no difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av except for this one particular thing has to do with calculating the calendar. So maybe that's only things related to Tisha B'Av itself, but not related to the Tosefet. And the Mishnah Berurah, just to fast forward a little bit, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that we don't have to do a Tosefet for Tisha B'Av, right? That Bein HaShmosh Shalo Aser, that after sunset, you're not allowed to eat. Well, Inter Yichlosti Falei, you don't have to add to it. And the Aruch HaShulchan, which is a contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah, seems to agree with that. But the Ramban does mention something about preparing for the S by eating, right? No, again, Larbos Tsepa Sudas Rishona, before the actual Sudas Pasekah, before the final fast, the final meal. So we eat a little bit more so that you won't you won't find the fast to be too difficult, which seems a little bit interesting because when it comes to the Rav Soloveitchik says that with Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, there's a whole learning out that you're actually supposed to eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippur. So there's an actual mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and there's a positive command to afflict ourselves. So maybe that's where it makes sense that there's an idea of adding on, of preparing. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, so Tisha B'Av is merely just a prohibition. There's no positive commandment to observe Tisha B'Av. There's just a prohibition from eating. And there's no such thing, generally speaking, of preparing to not do an Isser, of preparing not to carry out a prohibition. So what Rav Soloveitchik suggests from this is that there's still a Q mitzvah tani, that there's still a fulfilling a mitzvah of fasting. That you could say that fasting is a positive action. That therefore, you have to set it. He says, "Degama tani detish ba'av of a Q mitzvah midi for suffering kol yom kippur v'shayach to sefes al kimzah." So therefore, you can add to this positive mitzvah of fasting. So when it comes to actually doing a tosefes, so Rav Soloveitchik points out Shir, it's brought down the Shiri Haraf that was put together by Rav Menachem Ginnack, that you have to you can't have a Tosefes that's before Plaga Mincha, right? Just like for Shabbos, I have to wait till Plaga Mincha in order to accept Shabbos. So there has to be a possibility of Shem Hayom Haba, that there has to be a possibility of calling it the next day. So we find this with many areas. I have a lot of Davin Mariv from Plaga Mincha onwards. I can accept Shabbos from Plaga Mincha onwards. So you obviously can't accept Tisha B'Av before Plaga Mincha. A question might be, is there such a thing as Kabbalah Balev? Can I accept a Tosefes non-verbally? Can I accept it internally in my heart? So the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama says that you must make explicit Kabbalah. I have to verbalize it. There are other opinions that accepting a fast non-verbally counts. We seem to see that in the Rambam. So perhaps accepting the etzem tani, the essence of the fast can be done without words, just like a netter, that I can accept it non-verbally. But when I want to add on to the fast, which is sort of extra credit, so to speak, so I need a real undana de muchach. I need a real explicit statement that I desire to carry out this action, which can only be accomplished with words. So if I'm going to accept Tisha B'Av early, according to Rav Soloveitchik, so it seems like he's coming out on the side of saying that you have to have explicitly said that you are accepting upon Tisha B'Av. Now, when it comes to that's what we have here. When it comes to Tisha B'Av that falls on Sunday, So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Im chal Tisha B'Av becha b'Shabbos, shachal b'Shabbos v'nitcha l'achar haShabbos, ochal basar v'shosa yayin besudah masakis malah Shulchan afil kisudah shlomo be'ez malchuso." That I don't have a sudas b'sekis this year on before Tisha B'Av. I have a regular shal shudas, and if I want to have meat and drink wine, which by the way, during COVID, before we resumed having shal shudas and shul, I was having my whatever. If we made a cholent for that job, I was still taking from that cholent. I was having meat at shal shudas. Job people don't do, but I like having meat at shal shudas. So you can eat whatever you want for your. There's no sudas b'sekis, so to speak. But the Ramah adds, "Mihud tzarich lahafsik b'odom." But you still have to stop during before Shkia. You still have to stop before Shkia, which is interesting. Like, that's not something we would otherwise generally formalize on Shabbos. You have to stop eating by a certain point. So the idea that this comes from a Gemara in Irvin, we'll have to explain it outside. If Tisha B'Av falls on Friday, right, which is not something I think that happens anymore, but back when they sort of calculated things. When the calendar wasn't fixed, when it was done based on witness evidence testimony. So if Tisha B'Av falls on Friday, Rabbi Kiva says that you're not supposed to fast all the way till Tesa Kochavim because you can't enter Shabbos hungry. So you would have to. So we would accept Shabbos early and break the fast. But Rabbi Yossi says no, you complete the fast. So, and he brings proof from the fact that if Tisha B'Av falls on a Motzei Shabbos, that you're fasting for part of it, right? It's a little bit strange that, you know, we're stopping Davka before Shkia this coming Shabbos, right? Which is, again, you know, for those of us who have Shal Shabbos and Shul, we're eating all throughout Shkia. This Shabbos, we can't do it. So are we fasting on Shabbos? And in some ways, the answer is really no, because you're full at that point, or you can be full. You have the option of being full. So Rabbi Kiva's reply would be that when you start Tisha B'Av on Motzei Shabbos, you're maybe fasting after Shkia, but you're full. But it's different when you're starting Shabbos and you haven't eaten for 25 hours, and then you're entering Shabbos sort of having fasted. So Rabbi Yossi would reply that even if fasting for a short amount of time is called a fast, that might be a you might say it's a tarte de satre. That's it's mutually exclusive, but apparently a fast and Shabbos are not mutually exclusive, right? That again, even if you want to say that a fasting for an hour counts as fasting and it's still fasting, so Rabbi Yossi would say okay, but you can technically fast on Shabbos for that short amount of time. So what would left to be figured out is so when we. If I stop eating at 8:15, right? Shkia this Shabbos is 8:23. If I stop eating at 8:15, so does Tosefes kick in when I stop eating? Seems like at the end of the day, we're not going to require the Tosefes the way we do with Shabbos Yom Kippur. So in theory, can you eat all the way up to Shkia? But maybe if I make an explicit statement that I'm done eating, so in fact, maybe the fast has started, and certainly. The fact that we're fasting for about an hour on Shabbos is not necessarily problematic. So we spoke about Tosefes, about adding on to these to Shabbos Yom Kippur and even Tisha B'Av as being Mosif Kodesh Al Kol, that I'm adding to the holy day from the weekday. So we're still left with this question: is Tisha B'Av really Kodesh? Is Tisha B'Av really a holy day? So Rabbi Tzvi Reisman writes in an essay. also on the subject that, in fact, Tisha B'Av is supposed to be a yontif, right? Our hope is that we're not sitting on the floor this coming Motzei Shabbos and Sunday morning, but that we're getting tickets, forgetting for a second that that Israel's not letting anybody in still because of COVID, but in theory, we'd be getting tickets, we'd be flying to Israel, we'd be celebrating Tisha B'Av at the Beis HaMikdash. And that maybe explains why there's such a thing as Tosefis at the beginning of Tisha B'Av and not the end, right? Right? With Shabbos, we add on both ends. Yom Kippur, we add on both ends. But with Tisha B'Av, if we're going to add on, it's certainly only at the beginning and not the end. And why is that? It's that because at the beginning, there's still maybe a glimmer of hope that it'll be a moed. And that there's still this feeling that if I add on to it, so maybe in that second, maybe things will change and Tisha B'Av won't back be a yontif. At the end, we mourned, and there's still that. And again, we don't add on to mourning. We don't want that to surface. So, Mirtz Hashem, this year Tisha B'Av should be Kodesh, and when we add on to it, it should be something that is of holiness and that's of something of celebration. And we should see the coming of Mashiach with Miriam right now. Mm-hmm.